Morning.
Everyone, I'm going to talk a little bit about Baha. We were talking about Isruchag, touched on the Baha slightly. And we've a little fulfilled. Baha's coming up soon. It comes up when Cheshvan starts. It comes the following Monday, Thursday, and Monday. Top of the Mishnah Berurah.
After Rosh Chodesh.
It's never in Tishri, it's never in Nissan. Okay, let's deal with Mishnah. The Mechaber says as follows: Yesh Nagim Nisanas Sheni B'Chamishi. Some of the minhag to fast on Monday and Thursday. V'Sheni Acha HaPesach, and the Monday after that, after Pesach. V'Chein Acha Chag HaSukkos, and similarly after Sukkos. U'Mamtinen Ad Sheyavo Kol Chodesh Nissan. We wait till the whole of Nissan has passed, the Tishri and the whole of Tishri has passed, Vosmanon, and then they fast. Ago says Ramor. Miyad Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni, as soon as possible, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Sh'efshel is Anas, when it's possible to fast, V'Ashkenaz with Sorfas, and in Spain, or in Germany, and in France, Nagul is Anas, the minig was to fast, Isenas Hokum, a Tanis Tzibur, made it like a Tanis Tzibur. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sheni V'Chamishi, Shechoshin, Shema Mitoch Mishnah V'Simcha Bola De Averi, because I'm et and drunk too much, I was too jolly. Unfortunately, the Averis. Commercial Mitzvah be'Iyov, five Iyov, Shehibi, Korbonus. He brought Korbonus, Vatanus, Bimkem, Korban, and the fast is in place of the Korban, Avobat Seres. But on Shavuos, the Eina Eliyom Echot, Ein Choshen. We're not worried with Shavuos, because it's only one day. We're not worried about doing Avera. Okay, it's that simple. So you have Yontif, you have Pesach, and Sukkos. Right, can you think of another time where it would be appropriate to have Bahab? Sorry? Well, that's after Sukkos. You can think of another time? So the Dershu brings that. What about Hanukkah? Hanukkah, 8 days, the appropriate. Sorry?
It's not yours.
Yeah, but if the reason is because you've got your drinking and eating and everything else, and you might come to Averis, maybe Hanukkah as well. But he says, gives two answers. One is, first of all, Ha'om Eina Penuim Mimelachto. People are still working, they're not free from not working, so their minds aren't fully on food and drink the whole time. And also, Lernagibohem Simcha Yaseiru, don't have the extra Simcha on Hanukkah which you have on Pesach and Sukkos, which is why we're not worried about Hanukkah. But going back to the Mishnah Berurah. The minig is not to fast at all. And the reason we don't fast in Tishri is because most of the month is Yontif. But like slight question on the fact in Nissan it says you don't fast, because you have Tanis Bechoros, so one could fast then. So it's not that one doesn't fast at all in Nissan, there is an opportunity to fast. I don't have an answer. Because of these reasons, you don't make a fixed Tanis. Miyad Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni, Rosalem, i.e., Lafukim Masha Kosu B'Shem Mahariv, to exclude what the Mahariv says, Sheyantun Lahanus Ad Yud Zayin Cheshvan, we should wait until the 17th of Cheshvan, i.e., the one after Sukkos, rather than as soon as possible in Cheshvan. Now, the 17th of Cheshvan is a very important date. Anyone know what's special about the 17th of Cheshvan? That's when the Mabul started, says the Torah. The Mabul started the 17th of Cheshvan, and also it's when the Shah Melech finished the Beis HaMikdash. Chanukah Sabbath is much later, but he actually finished it on that time. It's carrying on. So a person, how does he go about the Bahab? Does he just go and say Monday morning, you know what, I'm going to fast today? No. We have to have a Kabbalah, like every other fast, have a Kabbalah beforehand. But there's also Misha Beirach they make on the Shabbos before it starts, before, just after Ashrei, before your Hallelu. And you can answer Amen there. If you answer Amen there, then that's counted as your Kabbalah. So somebody asked, what happens if you answer Amen and you don't want to fast? Have you accepted the fast upon yourself? No. You're saying Hashem should protect those who have accepted the fast. So you cover both ways. Okay, so answer Amen at the Misha Beirach, you have to make Kabbalah. If you don't, you forget something or other, you can make the Kabbalah on Sunday Mincha. I think we'll stop now. I think Yanka is back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Start of the Torah Way Northwest London Sunday, Kaf Zion Tishri, 19th of October, Rabbi Simchi Yakubovich, Shlita, Bereishis, Kirov Series, Part 2 of 3. This week's Torah has been sponsored anonymously by Simcha Nesum of Tzipi, Itzkovitz, Shatichia, and Shimi Simons, Nerioya. Chasta will take place on Mizashem Wednesday, Rosh Chodesh Lamed Tishri, He Rotsen, Sheibn Abbas, Demon, Bisrael, Lashem, Lisilo, Leninishmas, Rabbi Yosef, Dov Ben, Rib Shimon, Michoel Tzvi Zichron Rocha, our founder and organizer.
It's great to be back once again, and we're well over time, so I'll stick to the time I have. Many times we learn something in the Torah, and anything which is discussed in the Torah has to be explained in far greater detail than is given. And last night I happened across the story of Shimon Bar Yochai, and he sends his son to get a brocha from Tanoim, and it sounds like klalos, they're giving him the whole way through, and the klalos basically amount to you should build a house, the house will be destroyed. Nothing sounds really great with the brachas he's getting. And he goes back to Rabbi Shimon, he says, I got klalos, and he says, not klalos, it's actually brachas they were giving you. And he begins to explain. And the Me'am Loyos goes into detail on this, and Rabbi Yaakov Kuli, the Chassad of Gosh Levach, who wrote the Me'am Loyos, was a trailblazer in so many ways. He says, straight out, that they felt that they were giving brothers and their level to Moshe Bayechai's son didn't feel to give it outward just like that. There was a certain level of guide that they were concerned with, so they lowered what they were saying, that it shouldn't appear so. And many of the Gedolim, they gave brothers, we're talking about those from the Tamarugil times, the Mishnah, the Tanoim, Maram, they did it in such a dech of remes. It wasn't but this is not why the shir is here. We find the son going back to the father in shock at how his elders have spoken. And this comes up quite a lot of times in the Gemara, how I've been spoken to, how the young or the Talmud hears from the Rabbonim what they've been said, and they get a real shocker, and they go back and they speak. And it's very important we speak of the young, because it comes up quite a lot, especially when you start looking at the series and how we looked at Bereishis Nach and Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is quite obvious to many people. It's Avraham Avinu. He is like the leading Kiruv Godel of all time. I mean, today you can't get away with what he did. Set up a tent in the middle of a midbar and then offer people to, or in their soul, come into my tent. You know, safeguarding procedures wouldn't allow you to do what he did. But at that time, this was the Maaseh how he did it. Imagine the guy who just got himself circumcised running to three random guests, come into my tent and do it. Thank you. I mean, you're talking about somebody who was the whole story in the Torah, and he's explaining what was going on there. The Torah needs to be explained. We will cover that business of Shem Yom, there's Lech Lecha. We'll be looking at the overarching theme of how Avraham Avinu functioned and why and what. But Noach, in comparison to Avraham Avinu, is very different. And I looked through the Orach Chaim in great detail last night. I probably went over it several times. Cross-reference to the Ramban, but back at Rashi. Rashi on Noach says that he was either a great tzaddik in his generation, or he wasn't really that great. There's two ways of looking at it. Either the fact that Noach himself would have lived in the time of Avraham Avinu, he wouldn't be that something. If for some reason, you know, that two pshatim that Rashi's giving us, it's very interesting the way Rashi words it. Why? And the answer is both are correct. Both are right. Noach was a tzaddik. Look at the Arizal, look at many other places in the Torah. It indicates that 100% Moshe Rabbeinu was the Gilgal of Noach. And yet when we take a look at the story that Chazal bring down, there's Noach having a conversation with Avraham Avinu, that who was greater, and Avraham Avinu pointing out that his generation, and Moshe Rabbeinu pointing out to Noach that his generation got wiped out and he survives with his family, and Moshe Rabbeinu saves an entire nation of Am Yisrael, which would maybe indicate towards that there was a ticking there to be made. I'm not a Mokubal, but we do know that Moshe Rabbeinu linked to Noach is right there on that line. While one was very much focused on his family, but that's not true, because look at the Noyas, which is literally a mountain of commentary, and the Noyas indicates no, that Noach actually took his time building the Teva. He wanted people to see what he was doing. He didn't make an issue out of it. So again, you end up slightly perplexed. On the one hand, there's a Noach here who is building a table for many years, and what do we really expect from him to do? Run around the world? Furthermore, if you look at the Medrash Rabbah, you look at other places, it brings down that the world was flooding at the time. There was floods happening. It wasn't that the great flood, Noach, and that was it. There were other floods, Europe, etc., around the world. Floods had begun. Nothing like what happened in Noach. Noach was God forsaken. the water burned and bubbled away at the earth. So it was a completely different flood to what was to be expected. So what is it when I take a look at Noach, where's the limitation? And Chalila, to even think about it, could he be blamed? Aruch Chaim, along with other commentaries, and the Meir Yaakov Kuli, wow, does he go into it, talks about Tanoim who didn't have children, and that the Maises they did, the Mitzvahs, the Chesed, protects them in the Mabor, but somebody who's left without children, the Kaddish is so vital, and when they have children, how lucky they are. So a child is a true thing, but when he goes into it, he says, and he talks about Noach and his actual actions and what Noach was, and how special Noach was as a tzaddik. So where is the fine line? And obviously how to relate it to Kirov and what we do. Rashi, as we said on the surface, per se, two different opinions. And we explain both can be correct, that had Noach himself done what Avraham Avinu did, took himself further. Again, tzaddikim are judged on a different level. And tried to carve people, then fine. Then maybe we can start comparing him to what Avraham Avinu was. Now Avraham Avinu took himself out of his comfort zone and decided to look further, much further. And the Avraham Farshim, I couldn't find a source, but it's quoted by Shmuel Yerushalmi, back from Yaakov Kuli, and he says that there was one case, this medrash, like I said, I will find it, Miriam Lois brings it, that at one point, an elderly man came into the tent of Noach, of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu tried to get him to make a bracha, and the man told him to get lost, and Avraham Avinu got very upset, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says to him, "It's okay, I've been living with this man all these years, and you're just coping for a few minutes, you know, calm down." And it's a very interesting medrash. I always take midrashim very carefully, according to the Rambam, you don't just get very excited, and who's quoting, but you see that Avraham Avinu really pushed himself with people. I mean, the fact he had the bris all the way in Vayera, and how far he pushed himself there, should again indicate what you're dealing with. Isn't that a very high level and expectation for Noach to have to reach? It almost seems crazy. What are we expecting? We know from Chazal, we know from Rashi, Ramban talks about it. It's a cross. What light was in the Teva, Noach didn't see what was happening. The flooding, Aruch Chaim brings in. Aruch Chaim, on the one hand, is very, very complimentary towards Noach. But there's just an incredible amount that he gets from him. Noach's avoda was fully focused on himself. His Dabba Damas. That's what he did. He inspired people by them looking in at what he was doing. His outreach ended there, it didn't go further. Now, we can argue both. His children weren't small children. They were adults at this time. He could have afforded to push himself further. Noach went with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it was his David Amos. And you could argue in the world he lived with. But again, our client goes into that. He says, no, because with somebody who is twisted, Yaakov Avinu, famously, Maron Megillah says, turns to Rachel when she says, "How can you fool my father? A tzaddik doesn't work." He says, "Yeah, with a crooked, yeah, crooked, and with a tzaddik, you know, you act righteous with a righteous person." So again, we have to stop and think to ourselves: Noach is with a generation; he's trying to block them off. Noach wasn't wrong, Rachel says. He absolutely needed to work on himself, but he could have gone that extra mile. He could have gone further. Avraham Avinu, when he stands up for Sodom, he's willing to go further and further and further and push himself. He doesn't stop. He doesn't. It almost seems like a pointless tefillah. We know it wasn't. The tefillahs he did put in a safeguard rail. There will be a Mashiach. The very places he davened for, his nephew survives, there will be a Moyel that would come from there, a Rus that would come from there, Mashiach Medov, the Melech would come from there. We always see it. But every single time, Avraham Avinu got to be davened for the people who are the very opposite of what he is. That's going the next step. That's recognizing that I need to reach out to you, however what the differences are between us. It's a common misconception. I had a father once came to me. His son was not keeping anything. And the father says to me, "You know what I'm going to do? I came to ask you before I do it. What do you think? I'm going to force my kid to go with me to Shacharis every day." I said, "Uh-huh. And then?" "And then my kid will learn you have to go to Shacharis every single day." I said, "Are you offering him a croissant after Shacharis?" So he looks at me, simply, "With all due respect, you know you're not very good on your diet thing. I mean, my son's going to be turning to his football and everything, but you know, what's this croissant?" I said, "Tell me, when your son started Aleph Beis, knowing your background, did you put him in front of the Rebbe or whatever with honey on the letters?" He said, "Yeah." "Did you enjoy doing the ritual?" He said, "Excuse me?" So for you, if you can respond and answer why you should be taking your son after Shabbos and bond with him, for even a minute, never cross on, you misunderstand the whole concept of honey on the bed. How are you sweetening, not the deal, what Torah is, why are you putting the sweetness? I said, I have a better idea for you. Don't force him out of bed. Tell him, you got to go, we want to take him out to get a croissant, but can we go to Shacharis on the way? Okay, get a quick minion. If you have to finish Kabbalah, you have to do it. Go sit down with your son. Spend the 10 minutes with him. Invest in generations to come. It was the best thing he ever did, he told me. But the idea to this father was, when we were debating it, but don't you think my approach works better? I said, what time do you go to Shacharis? He said, I always am there 5-10 minutes before we start davening, which is commendable in today's day and age. Fine. I mean, Chazal tell us, Sasharon brings down how important the Hasidim of old. I'm not talking about Hasidim, I'm talking about Hasidim, because they went and they actually prepared for davening a good full hour, 2 hours before. I said to him, what if it would happen if your son walked away with that croissant? It was so sweet to him that your 5-10 minutes became an hour of learning before Shacharis to him when he got older. Because the memories of childhood were so sweet that he wanted to go re-explore it. That meant something he wanted to reinvest. He wanted to do something more with his kids. But your idea and concept, you've limited what you could be doing. In chinuch with our children, we always have to try and expand our grandchildren. It's always about expanding how we approach them. And even more so when it comes to somebody else's child. How I push myself beyond my comfort zone. Noach is in the comfort zone. He doesn't push beyond it. He's happier, he's staying. Or Chaim says, Tzadik, Gilgul, Moshe Rabbeinu, all wonderful things. But he's no Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu pushes it. You know, we say Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgul, and yet people don't realize the concepts behind what Moshe Rabbeinu keeps saying. Hashem, take me, kill me, it's my fault. The era of Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu, they were completely, they're nothing to, he shouldn't have been interested. He put himself up for that. They made Am Yisrael fall so many times. And he was Moshe Rabbeinu who says, it's my fault, I take responsibility. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned him about the risk, Moshe Rabbeinu still reaches out to them. I see potential, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't stop. It's that commendable character with pitfalls that can be a danger that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I need to go and reach out further. I got to do something beyond what I'm comfortable with so I can reach out to that Talmud to see what I can do. Stories I said about the Chofetz Chaim with Talmidim, people who struggled in Yiddishkeit. And Chofetz Chaim had the time for that Talmud to make him realize and value it, just to sit and cry with him, to sit and talk. These are the people, these impressions are so powerful, and they get so strong. Lloyd, to compare to Avraham Avinu's approach, with everything else, Lloyd himself still had a level of Achnas HaSarichim. Sure, he saw the Malachim as very chosh of a people when they came to them, but still that level, where did they come from? It came from Avraham Avinu's background. It left an impact. Noach, he had 3 very choshev sons at the start of the parsha. We know what ended up with Chom. And we know how Chom treated his father, Noach. Noach's entire focus was his family. Chom didn't work out so well, did it? You focused, very good, you focused on your mishpacha. But then you're limiting what your hashpacha can be and how much more you can grow from it. Countless stories I have seen with my own eyes where you... It's a Yoel Gold story, right? Where you see how the impact, the very similar a Rebbe has on the Talmud, has massive, even if it's not your Talmud. I remember I used to have a boy from the clubhouse years ago, and he had a friend who didn't come to clubhouse, wasn't one of the lucky ones, if you will. He ended up in a whole different world. We invited him for Shabbos. I'll tell you what, it was wonderful. He cussed a bit, he got angry a bit, he shouted, he screamed. He didn't drink, no alcohol at the table. But he was amazing, he was as happy as you can go. And my wife looks at me, why are we doing this? I remember this. And I bit my bottom lip, we'll get through this, we'll get through this. My wife said, we'll get through this, we'll get through this. We got through the Shabbos meal, and we never heard from him again. He went off to Eretz Yisrael a month later. A couple of years later, we're in Eretz Yisrael again. I couldn't make it up if I tried. Walking down the street, suddenly this big, tough Israeli soldier comes over to me, and he says, Chaver, and they all do a little salute, and he comes and gives me a big hug and starts to cry. So you know this is a story you hear time and time again, where this is the young man, little cup on the head, proud of his Yiddishkeit, proud of who he was, and he goes, he says to me, you know, and I wish it could have been me, he says, all the Jews in London who would smile to me and say hi to me, whether it was Kabbalah, whether it was in the shul, it gave me suddenly a feeling I need to do more. But I couldn't get to yeshiva. So I ended up going to the army. But, you know, when I was in the army, I began to question myself, like, what am I fighting for? I'm in Eretz Yisrael, you know. I'm Jewish. I could be in the British army, for crying out loud. So I began to explore that. And I asked to be switched to a frumer section, because I just felt more. And I looked at Ischever, Wataka, Ol, Shemesh, Shabbos. You couldn't make it up. The boy naturally had that drive. He wanted. Why? Because it was a Shabbos where he was allowed to get upset. I will give a little bit of advice to people who want to do it and they're young. Don't do it when your kids are a certain age, and be smart how you do these things, because you just have to be mindful of the impact it has on your children. Everything is with balance. I'm not trying to advocate that anybody into your house and expose your kids to the whole world. We're very mindful how we do things. But the effect that you can have now and the long-term range has is insane. We look at something like, was Noach any different to his generation? In some ways. Noach had to block off that generation, as we just said, for the impact of his children, his family. Which is why I'm bringing that in. You do need to be balanced. And because Noach was a tzaddik, on his level, yeah, he is given that criticism. But that chalila doesn't take away from his tzidkus and who he was. The Dor HaFlaga, on the other hand, is Bordan, weren't on that level. Dor HaFlaga were loving to each other. The HaFlaga were worse than the Dor HaMabul when it came to the way they treated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In which Naibishit brings down, this is going a good few hundred years ago, that they designed a rocket to go into space. The way the metal would work would be the very opposite. It would push out, propel the tower up into the air. They had an advanced way of doing it. They were incredibly advanced. And yet, these Chutzben Yaks were allowed to survive longer. What made them so much more? There was a Havah, there was Achdus, they worked well together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's only solution to destroy them is to mix up the language. When they start fighting, I can destroy them. Jump way forward into the future, in the era of Shaftim. You've got the same thing going on. You've got yourself an entire generation of Am Yisrael tribes, in Eretz Yisrael, and there's an Avoida Zohar of Micha, which is standing there. And the Malachim, again, Chazal teachers say, destroy, 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 look at what they're doing. Hashem says, but where the Avoida Zohar is, is situated in the desert. And therefore anybody who gets lost can find the way through the smoke. And when they come by the way to Zohar, they get food. Understand this. We're talking about them serving idols. They're opposing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chutzpah is different. No, Hashem says, I'm not destroying them. Because there's achdus, because there's unity, because there's something so powerful that's coming out of it. I'm not. The Ribbono Shel Olam is careful with those serving of the Zohar. And it's his own people, Am Yisrael, because there's a level of achdus, and yet he allows it to go on and on. It leads to the civil war, the Gemara talks about, but he gives them that ability because there's some unity, there's something powerful. It's nothing that can be said. But with that, how far does patience go to a Talmud? So I think it's very simple to say, when it comes to Talmudim generally, you copy the death of Rabbi Prager. A prayer was in such a godel, the Gemara in Tanis brings down, the 400 times he went over a lesson, his Talmud was worried, he went 400 times over the same lesson, so his Talmud would understand the concept again and again and again. In Shemayim, the Gemara in Megillah, Tosis talks about that they offered him either he should go to Yom HaBor, him and his generation, or you'll live for many, many, many years, he'll be a very old man. At the end, Rebbe was given both for him and his entire generation, and he was given an incredibly long lifespan. And Taisa says it was only at the end of those years where Rebbe understood what that meant. Rebbe Lozer ben Shamua, the same Gemara Megillah, describes how he wouldn't walk over his Talmidim to get to his place in the Beis HaMedrash, as was common with these sat. So these are very easy basics when it comes to the Talmud. Most people would say, okay, I can cope with that. How do you cope when a Talmud spits in your face? Maybe not physically behind your back. How do you cope with a person who turns his back on Am Yisrael? Avraham Avinu runs after Lot. It says clearly in Parashat, take a look. Lech lecha. But he said Lot to say enough. Lot raises his eyes. Yeah, what did he see? He sees Sodom. This was after Avraham Avinu says, we can't continue on the path anymore. So Chazal explained, he raised his eyes and he saw Sodom. He wasn't going to survive anymore. I don't care about you. I'm going to go to live my life. I got money from you. I got my wealth. So I'll make a bench. Off I go. This is Lot's attitude. Tell me. This stims. Avraham Avinu later hears Lot's caption. Oh, I'm going to save my nephew. This is the same nephew you wanted to go a separate path to. And now you find it vital to go save your nephew. Make up your mind. Either him and his dad and Sodom should all be destroyed, or forget. Not just that. After he saves them, king of Sodom comes and says, hand over the enemy. Chazal make it very clear. He knew what. We have tzitzis today because of that. I won't take a string from you, Rashi says. Tzitzis. And yet, Aram Avinu turns around and he says this to the king of Sodom. Who he saved? So again, what is the deal? Aram Avinu, take a look at Noach. Aram Avinu, as we explained, this unconditional love. I'm never going to stop reaching out to every single person. Ramban talks about the goddess of Aram Avinu. It's impossible to understand the patience of Aram Avinu. He was oisik in every way he could for someone. The nth level, it's for lech lecha. But just to contrast the death of a Noach, who again, I can't stress enough, no one should chas shom limit to what he was able to accomplish. But still, a Noach, the godless was that he was able to stay from. His family survived the Mabul. But what remained? How strong were the impressions that allowed Am Yisrael to survive? What was the godless of a Noach ultimately achieved? It was limited. It was limited to survival. It's about living, we always say, not surviving. But he was able to survive a flood. He was able to survive the level he had to with his family. That's what we limit in Noach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, the flood was sealed because of the sin of theft. They stole. And yes, Noach was not guilty of stealing. But Noach didn't go further than that. Noach was able to go side by side with HaKadosh Baruch Hu again because he didn't steal. The Gemara makes it very clear, he didn't steal, but he didn't reach out. This is the issue when it comes to Noach again and again and again. And those who ask me where in Tiferes Yonason, he couldn't highlight enough from his Naivshitz what kind of their flogger there, what kind of generation their flogger were. And yet, Achdus, yet unity, yet to care for one another, which is not easy. Avraham Avinu's shitta is, I need to reach out, I need to be there. At the same time, how do you then approach the Talmud and tell him off? How do you tell the Talmud you are incorrect? There's a famous joke that there was Rosh Hashiva. He sees the Talmud went off the derech. And he says to the Talmud, you know, today is Tanis Esther. What are you doing eating and drinking? Do teshuva. Rabbi, I give up on Yiddishkeit. I don't believe in anything anymore. Kotev. He sees them on Purim singing Adel Leyoda Sheker. They come dancing out there in the rain. Ah, it's a freaking tight. He says, Shefler, yesterday you said to me you don't believe in anything. Today, other layoda? No, today I became a Baal Tshiva. So it comes to my attitude to Yiddishkeit. What's my approach to such a Talmud? The Talmud, countlessly, the Gemara brings down when it comes to a Talmud, how I reach out to Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda, countless places it's brought down how they would play with their children, how would they encourage play. The Talmud would call on all fours after his child. His approach to his child was to be there with the child as they grew older. Answer the questions patiently. Be there. Encourage the questions. I had literally last night, midnight, the Talmud knocked on the door. Somebody knew that I was asked to take on. Young man, late teens. He comes, he sits down. His problem has been a shkoffer. For whatever reasons, I even asked him, can I bring you up without saying who you are? He said yes. He went to yeshiva, didn't work out. And he said to me, nobody explained to him concepts of dinosaurs. I laughed and said, that's the reason for your life spiraling out of control. He says to me, no. He says, but when I'm being taught by dinosaurs who don't understand the modern age, that was the kind of attitude I was dealing with. So he says to me, you want to tell me how I'm supposed to believe? So I took out some midrashim, if I was already preparing for shit. I said, tell me, you heard of the Reimim? Have you heard of these massive, gigantic creatures that swam around the Teva? Do you consider giants an impossible feature? Do you think that Ramban, when he quotes Saninim, doesn't call them reptilians? By Sanin, look up a captain's work, incredible, on his research on that. He sits there and he gets very upset. I said to him, what? He said, you're coming to me now with the answers, but I'm already at the point where I don't care. So how are you going to get me from? So I said to him, let me ask you plainly a question. Do you want me to take you on a journey, or are you looking for connection? If you're looking for connection, I have plenty of that to give. If you're looking for a journey, you can go to any Kriv center. They can give you a journey towards Yiddishkeit, but you've got to go with the journey. But my gut instinct is saying you're looking for a connection to someone with Yiddishkeit. You feel that you are cut off from your source to Yiddishkeit. And yeah, That was unfortunately the point. He was able to tap in and realize that was his problem. I don't feel connected anymore. So what did we do? We agreed that any time of the day when he wants, he can text me. If I'm giving shir or I'm working with someone, I will respond to the text by the end of the day and I'll answer any question. In addition, he has to come at least every once a month for Shabbos and go somewhere else. We're looking for connection. In society today, where everyone is so connected on social media and so connected through the internet, they're not connected at all. There's no such thing. Today, you have AI taking over all these platforms. It's not even a person dealing with it anymore. A society which prides for being modern and sophisticated has created more issues and unfortunately snares in which young people and older people are being caught up in. Where married men also don't feel that connection, unfortunately. And they go through the cycle. They take a box. It's unfortunate what I've said once before here. Boxes, to take a box is a wonderful thing. A person doesn't fit the box, after 120 we all fit the box. When we are alive and we are on this earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to connect him, we have to get out of those boxes and make a real, viable connection. Nerf's problem was he built a table. He had the box. He's stuck in the box. He was amazingly successful at surviving the torrent, terrible times. He walked the Shem Noganeva. He didn't have the level to go out and reach out to others. He didn't manage to break through that concept. Avraham Avinu managed. He managed to build up Am Yisrael. He managed to get that Am Yisrael going. It started with Chesed. It was the Chesed Shlemus. He didn't expect anything in return at Kedei Kach. This is what made him grow in a way that nobody else could grow. We want to reach out. We have to understand. Do not judge the person you're reaching out to. Look for a connection, a shaykh, sweeten it for them. Make it work. That's why Avraham Avinu had the tent all across. He had an open system. He is the you think of Avraham Avinu, think of a tent. You think of an ech, table. Two totally different methods in building up Yiddishkeit. Don't be fooled for 1 second. Avraham Avinu knew exactly how to set parameters. When the malachim would come to him, it says, take mat mayim. Ask yourself why he said mat mayim. Avraham Avinu knew, yes, I have to get Dezrashis Lavui Dezor off your feet. That was the appearance they gave him. They were men of the wilderness of Arabs of that time. Avraham Avinu, and they served the dust on the feet, said, Ma'at Mayim, take a bit of water at your own time. I don't need you to take Abe Mayim, don't need you to chuck all the water on your feet to come from. Ma'at Mayim, take a bit of water. Take the steps you need to come closer to me. Abba Nishtemagos, not in my house. Abba Ma'at Mayim. A bit of water. And that's a success. Shkoyach for listening. Atzlach Rabbe. When you talk about it, so our client talks about it, that the information in the Shabbos that would be the manifest to help him Shabbos, and the other was used with Aram. We do have archaeological evidence that even predating the Avraham Avinu's time that we know, there was a monotheistic religious movement that believed in one God. So there's no question about it. I also once heard from a Rishi Fresh from Rashida, Robert, that 100% is good. 100% the people in India at one time believed in one God, it was a whole group. They would have been the sons of Robin. He made the world a movement. I heard from him.